Hey y'all, I'm Danny, and this is Heard. Hi guys, welcome back to Heard the Podcast. I'm your illustrious host, Danny. You can find Heard on any podcast streaming platform. Make sure you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel, H-E-R apostrophe D, the podcast. Like, share, comment, share with a friend, all those good things. And just be on the lookout for content and all these things. I'm on Instagram at Heard the Podcast, H-E-R-D the Podcast. Make sure you guys are tapped in because we're going to be posting lots and lots of content. You know, I may not be here every week, but I'm going to make sure I repurpose some content and clip it up and, you know, make sure you guys are nice and followed up and subscribed up and tuned in and all those good things. So when is TikTok going out of business? I guess I'll just make sure I'll just post on TikTok as much as I can until they go out of business, I guess, right? Because they're banning it, and then they're like saying that it needs to be sold to someone, I guess. I don't know what's going on. So that's crazy, right? Anywho, so how are you, J-Rob? I had a recent birthday that just passed, guys. First of all, I'm not getting paid for this. I wish I was, but I am like literally doped up on this Celsius right here. I feel like the Energizer Bunny. Remember the Energizer Bunny? Do they still have do those batteries still exist? The Energizer batteries?
I think they do.
But is the bunny still the thing with it? Is the bunny still the mascot? I don't really see. I see like the dirt. I don't even see the Energizer. Do they still exist? Do they get discontinued?
They still exist.
They do? Well, anyway, I feel like the Energizer Bunny, because I've deep throated this shit. I have like maybe 3 drops left. But I feel like a bunny rabbit right now, so bear with me. J-Rob is in the back, keying and stuff at me. Don't leave. Where are you going? Hurry up. Anywho, I had a birthday that just passed. I am the wonderful, I'm 31 now, 31 years young, 31, as I like to say, W-O-N-1, big trophy emoji. But I actually had a very wonderful birthday celebration. I had initial plans for my birthday and things kind of fell through, so I had to like reroute and improvise. But everything turned out great. I think that I really appreciate my friends for celebrating me. I think that, you know, nowadays I'm happy that I have a nice solid friend group, and luckily, like a lot of my friends, a lot of my close-knit friends, you know, we've been friends since grade school. So that's definitely like a fortunate thing to say, because everyone doesn't have that advantage. So they, you know me through and through. But I was supposed to go on a New Orleans trip. That kind of fell through. So I kind of rerouted, and because I live in Baltimore, so. And I've been wanting to go to this restaurant called Black Swan. So we went to Black Swan. That was pretty fun. My friends came up from PG County. Black Swan is actually pretty good. I like their food. They have really good drinks. They play music. It's really nice and cool. I like Black Swan. It's real cute. But I went to Black Swan after I had a photo shoot. Shout out to Anthony. Anthony has been doing my photo shoots, my birthday photo shoots, for 3 years now. And every year it gets better. So this year, I wanted to go for a like goth glam theme, because I've been seeing a lot of goth glam. Well, you know, because goth glam is not anything new. Like, you know, we've all had, like, even back then we've all had our Hot Topic phase, and like, you know, some, you know, and there's like that whole goth culture that's like, you know, authentic to those groups of people. But right now I feel like I'm starting to see more goth glam come to the forefront again, like as more of a mainstream trend again. And I'm really obsessed with it, because I love like the different dark pack. You know, I love seeing different things being put together and then making it into one, and it just works. I love like eclectic vibes. And I love like goth glam. I love like the gaudy stacked jewelry. I love like the black and white themes with it, the lace textures, like just different, like the hairstyle to go with like the dark makeup, the dark lip, the dark eyeshadows and stuff like that. So I had fun with it. So I had a goth glam themed photo shoot. You guys can follow my personal page. It's Danny DeVito, DANIDEVITO _ on Instagram. You can see how the pictures turned out. Let me see. I can actually, I'll pull up the photos real quick. And I'll just zoom in because I'm not going to feel like putting, I'll just zoom in here, right here. So here's one of the photos right here. Here you go. And then here's another, this is one of my favorite ones, the close-up. That's one of my favorite ones right there. Here's another one. There it is right there. And I got this really cool, like, black headpiece from Amazon, and I got my dress online. Nothing too crazy. It was a long dress, white in the front and black in the back. And I got these nice long puffy sleeved gloves from Amazon as well. And I got like the jewelry to go with it. And I actually did my own makeup this year. And I was pretty nervous about it because I actually planned on getting a makeup artist. And the makeup artist that I used last year for my photo shoot, they weren't available. So I'm like, oh my God, I need someone to do my makeup. But I'm like, my friends always compliment me on my makeup, and I feel like I have a really good grasp on how to do my makeup anyway. So I did it this year. I did the heavy eye makeup, and because I'm never really confident in the eyeshadow aspect of things, because I just feel like it's just, I don't know, it gets tricky when it comes to blending and things like that with the eyeshadow, and you have to have the right eyeshadow, you have to, you know, apply it in a certain way, and so it gets real tricky with that. But I did my own makeup this year for my photo shoot, and it really turned out really nicely, and I absolutely love my photos, and I think that this year was like my best photo shoot to date. Like, this is like one of my favorite photo shoots I've done for my birthday. Do you see my photos, J-Rob? You like them? Like the guy, like the Anthony, his name Anthony McCray. He's a Baltimore-based photographer. He did my last two photo shoots. J-Rob just came back in the room. He did my last two photo shoots. But you like, did it look scary? Did it look cool? Like, did it look like too dark? Like, how did you saw it, right? What you think about it?
It did look dark.
Huh?
It did look dark.
No, like dark as in like the mood. Like, this is really dark of her to do this.
Dark mood.
Well, you saw it, like, what you think about it?
Uh-huh. I was like, oh, she's stepping it up.
Oh, for real?
You know what I'm saying? You
stepping
progression.
Yeah. It was fun. I really love taking photos. I love going on photos. I love conceptualizing ideas and then executing it. That's why I just, like, photo shoots have been, like, my thing. For my past, like, shoot, I think I've been doing photo shoots for my birthdays for, like, shit, like, since I was like maybe 25 or something like that. I've been doing photo shoots, and I just like find photographers and just, you know, but photo shoots make me happy. I love taking photo shoots. I just do. I just love it so much. And then me and my friends went to Black Swan in Baltimore. Have you been to Black Swan?
It's on my list.
It is. It's good. I like it. The drinks are really nice. I like the drinks. The food's good too. The drinks are, they have this drink called, I think it's called the Black Swan, their signature drink. It's really good. It's really nice and sweet and fruity, but it's good. I like it a lot.
What did you order?
I think I ordered some type of like shrimp pasta with like tomato sauce, and then my three other friends, they ordered like the salmon dinner, and then my other, because it was five of us, and my other friend, she got like some ribeye, like some like a rib platter. But the food was pretty good. They came up from PG County. We had a good time. Yeah, I really enjoyed my birthday. And then so after that, so it was the photo shoot, then the dinner. That was like the weekend before my birthday. My birthday is on April 17th, and it fell on a Wednesday. So I did the shoot and the dinner the weekend before that Wednesday. And then so, you know, my photographer, he got the photos together for me, and I posted it on Wednesday on my birthday. But then I have a friend named Jonathan. Me and Jonathan, we have the same birthday. So he actually, because he lives in North Carolina now, because I met Jonathan through my friend Shadiamon, and they went to this school, and I think it's Livingston or something like that in North Carolina. They went to school together, so they met or whatever. And I met him through Shadiamon, but he has the same birthday as me. And JT actually, she came to Baltimore on the 21st for her, you know, she's doing those club appearances, like, you know, she's doing the groundwork, and I'm gonna talk about her in a second. But she came to Baltimore, so he got him and his friends, they got a section at this club called the Iconic Live in Baltimore, because she was gonna be there and perform and stuff, and he told me to come along, and I was like, oh, you know, how much I gotta pay, like, you know, what's my portion I gotta pay. He was like, oh no, me and my friend, we didn't want to have that burden on anybody, so him and his friend took care of the section or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, bet, because, you know, he loves JT, he loves like the female rappers and stuff too. So I went on a work night, but it was a Sunday night on a, even though I live in Baltimore, child, that was just, oh my gosh. Oh my, I was so tired the next day. I'm like, oh my gosh. But, yeah, I JT, so JT held like, she held a meet and greet and a merch signing, before her appearance that night. And then, so I want to say this though. I saw JT, in Baltimore, and I think that, you know, she's really pretty. She's really pretty, and I think that she is just, I see her on Instagram a lot, but it's like being in the same, you know, area as her and like being actually at her booking, I think that she is really appreciative and she's really soaking in these moments. And I think that she really, really, really wants this, because like before, I've had critiques on her when I felt like, you know, at some points I felt like she was just lazy and, you know, being ungrateful with the position that she had, because, you know, she would say things like, I just want to do my job and go home, or Carisha has to go hard because she has kids, I don't really gotta go hard. That's like, when she would say things like that in interviews, I'm like, oh my god, like I would be pissed. I'm like, girl, like you have so much potential, like, and then, you know, and then like, and then the next minute she'll be like, oh, she wants to be nominated for awards and stuff. I'm like, okay, well, you want to be nominated for awards, then what you doing? Like, because my whole thing is like, why aren't you, like, you're the rapper of the group, we all know that you can rap, and like, even when y'all be doing feature songs, people scream and shout your verse on these features that you do. Yeah. So I'm like, girl, what? And like, I'm like, why aren't you on the radio stations freestyling like the girls do that have that have Grammys, like the girls that already have Grammys, they still go on the LA Leakers and the Funk Flexes, they still going on here and freestyling because that's what they love to do. Why you not doing this? That was my whole critique of her. But now I see that, you know, she has a team behind her, they have a strategy, and they're doing this grassroots thing where like they're just doing the grammar, they're going to these local areas and like building a fan base, and I'm really excited for her career. Like, I love watching her. I said this on my Instagram when I came after the club. I was like, you know, I love seeing artist development in real time. Like, this makes me feel so good. I just love seeing things like this because it just feels genuine, and I love music. I love watching people perform. I love like experiencing music, and I love experiencing artists, and I love experiencing shows and concerts and things like that. So like, I really enjoyed myself at the club booking that she had in Baltimore. So I'm excited to see what she has in store. She dropped a song. She dropped her new song called Okay. I'll talk about that in the music segment. But spoiler alert, I love the song. So she has meet and greet, and also, you know, they're doing a lot of like, I love how like they're doing printouts, like they're printing out her poster, her artwork, and having the QR codes on it, and things like just doing all those cool things that like I love seeing that with artists. And I had like a little stunt where I was working with the local artists in DMV, and I was doing that. I was getting printouts made, and I was getting the QR codes on their stuff, and they were doing local shows, and they were doing other city shows and things, and I made sure I got the grassroots, got the printouts for them, and did the flyers for them, and did all, like, I love the progress. I love all of that. So next on the list, so Coachella happened. So Coachella always falls around my birthday every year, and Doja Cat, she headlined Coachella both weekends. I went to see Doja Cat last year in concert, loved it. But this Coachella performance was even bigger than her tour that she had. And like, there were outfit changes, I was like, wow, Doja Cat is one of the greatest artists of our generation. Like, she's just like multi-talented. She can sing, rap, dance, perform. Like, she is such a major talent. I always enjoy watching Doja Cat. The show was well put together. I think weekend one went a little bit smoother than weekend two. I think weekend two had a little bit more production issues here and there. She still pulled through, but weekend one definitely took the cake for me. Doja Cat is actually headlining Hot 97 Summer Jam, and when I saw that, I was like, whoa. I was like, this is amazing, but I was like, whoa, she's really about to tap into this rap shit, because the thing is, Doja Cat has it. She's already a fucking pop star, and it was crazy to see, like, oh my god, you're headlining Hot 97, whoa, because from my memory, Hot 97 is a hip hop concert, and it's only hip hop acts. So I'm like, you're really tapped. Like, you want people to recognize you as a rapper, and you're really tapping into this because she's the first female rapper to headline Coachella. That's already huge. But like, now it's just the fact that Doja Cat, who she's a pop star. Doja is already a fucking pop star, and then she's headlining Hot 97 Summer Jam, this historical hip hop ass platform. So it's like, girl, like, you already dominated pop. You got this art. That's easy. Boom. And now you finna dominate hip hop, on some real live shit. Like, you are a problem. You gonna be a problem. I'm just saying, like, she's already a fucking pop star. Right. And now you about to hit on a hip hop ass concert event? Girl. So I'm gonna see who she's definitely gonna bring some people out. She should, because it's hip hop. She brought out 21 Savage and ASAP Rocky and Tizo Touchdown on her first weekend for Coachella. So yeah, I can only imagine that she's gonna bring out some hip hop ass niggas on Hot. She should, girl. It's a hip hop ass even, girl. You better bring out them niggas, because they are. You know, people gonna be hating on your pop star ass. But anywho. This is the quick things. I didn't get into the topics yet, child. But lastly, just real quick, Tracee Ellis Ross. I saw something on Tracee Ellis Ross's page. She let me just read her caption, because it really spoke to me. So Tracee Ellis Ross, she makes a post. She's in a pool with a nice beach head on. She's gorgeous, by the way. She says, "I'm a solo traveling broad, and I want y'all to come with me as I explore. And when I say explore, I mean wear my pretty clothes, eat yummy food, dive into art and culture, and get into hotel pools. Our time together will include me meticulously, laboriously, and sometimes ridiculously preparing for these explorations. Basically, I'm gonna do my Instagram but on TV." So she's basically gonna have a TV show on the Roku channel where she travels and things by herself, I guess. And I'm like, oh my gosh, because like I'm trying to be in an era where I'm comfortable with enjoying myself, you know what I'm saying? Because like I'm from PG and all my friends live in PG, and sometimes I get kind of like, even though like it's down the highway or whatever, sometimes I feel kind of like, I don't know if I feel homesick or I don't know what it is, because all of my friends, all of my like best friend, like all my main friends live in PGDC, and you know, they don't live 10 minutes away no more. Or if it's like, you know, I can't just hop on the car and go down into Fullsville real quick and go to my best, you know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm away from like my main friends, like, you know, and I just like, and you know, it's just like, I want to, because I love Baltimore. Like, I went to college in Baltimore. I lived in Baltimore for 4 years when I was in 3 years when I was in college at Towson. So I was already familiar with this area, and I wanted to get away from PG. And I still love living in Baltimore, but it's like, damn, like I miss like, you know, being around the corner from my friends. And like, you know, sometimes it's like, I feel like sometimes like, you know, I'm like an after, maybe it's not true because we still hang out and stuff, but it's like, damn, like, am I an afterthought in my friends' lives? Like, oh my gosh. But it's like, I want to be more comfortable enjoying myself by myself. So I already started, so last year I finally started going to the movies alone, which is awesome. I think I'm about to go see Challengers tonight. We'll see. But I already mastered the art of going to the movies alone and enjoying that. I love that. So I want to master the art of going to concerts alone, because sometimes, like, you know, I don't want to, because one of my other friends, you know, she's starting to do that now, and I was mad at her. I'm like, why you ain't ask me? But it's like, she's in her era, her alone era right now, and she doesn't want to coordinate with everybody all the time. So it's like, I get it. So I want to be that too. Like, I want to be like, oh shit, Megan Thee Stallion coming to town, I don't gotta text my friend all the time. I can be like, oh, I'm gonna just get and go. You know, I want to master the art of going out to concerts alone. I already, before the movie thing, I think I already mastered going out to eat. Like, I'll go to the bar and eat. That's nothing. That's whatever. But like, I want to enjoy myself. You know what I'm saying? And I think once you learn how to enjoy yourself, and you learn yourself more, and then, you know, better, you make better decisions, you have better discernment when it comes to others and giving your energy to others, or the energy that you exude onto others. You understand what I'm saying? So I think that I definitely want to get at that Tracee Ellis Ross, that really spoke to me. Like, you know, she's like, because she's a woman of a particular age now, and you know, she's just, you know, in her grown woman era, you know, she's like, you know, I like to travel alone. And I'm just enjoying, I mean, I'm in a pool looking fine by myself. I look good by myself, and I'm alone. I'm enjoying my life by myself, and I'm enjoying myself. You know what I'm saying? So, I would love to tune into her show on Roku channel. So I'm definitely down for that for sure. Ooh, child. Okay. So that was that. Okay. So now we're going to get into this real quick. Okay. This is is a lot. It's going to be a lot, okay? All right. J-Rob, look at this list. Let me just show you this list. Look at this shit. Look. These are my notes. These are my notes. Whoa. Okay? We're going to get through this. Okay, so. This is what happens when I miss a week. Yeah. All right. So, let's start with the Man of Steel. It's fine. Don't you worry about it. I know. You should still watch it.
I saw clips.
It's all good, but you still watch it. But it's still all good. Cause I got you, J-Rob. I got you. Mind you, I am. This is like crack. I feel like the energy. I'm serious. Okay, I'm serious. You know what, Celsius? You need to pay me. Cause you need to pay me. Okay, Celsius. Celsius. This energy drink is. You know, you have energized me, and you have put the battery in my back. To provide a successful and enlightening, a graceful, a poised podcast episode, Celsius. Celsius, you are an amazing energy drink, okay? And I would love to partner with you one day because, listen, I know firsthand, this is the shit. Anyway, so, yes. Yes, we're gonna pander to these folks here, okay? But no, so Man of Steel. So here's the thing about Man of Steel, right? Before I start, I love Amanda Seals, and when I say I love Amanda Seals, I love the energy of the brand, the Amanda Seals. I love what Amanda Seals believes in. I love what she stands on. I love her unapologetic energy. I love her articulation. I think that she's smart, funny, and black. You know, no pun intended, but hey. But no, I love Amanda Seals. Have I ever met her before? I'm trying to think. I don't think so. You know what? I didn't meet her, but I was kind of mad one time because I almost did meet her. She was in D.C. on some low shit because I actually was so I would do things with KYS sometimes, and this was when they had an artist come and, you know, do like a listening party or whatever, and I heard that Amanda Seals was in and out, and like, oh, somebody was like, oh, Amanda Seals just left or whatever, and I was like, oh shit, I mean, she just left, oh my god, no, that was the only time I was almost met Amanda Seals, but whatever. Anyway, so but no, I respect what Amanda Seals stands for. I love her unapologetic, you know, energy. I love, you know, when she's vulnerable. I love her articulation. I love that she's funny. I love that she's smart. I love that she's talented. I love that she can sing, act, all those things. But let's get into this. So she did an interview with Club Shay Shay. So I can't remember what triggered this. Okay, you guys know it's been on the news or whatever, but there was, you know, she always had a hate train, but recently, I guess the hate train, there was a resurgence of the hate train where articles were coming out saying that, you know, she Amanda Seals isn't liked and she's difficult to work with and blah 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 blah. So it was a hate train with different articles and different outlets and you know just taking internet BS and making it into articles and clickbait, and you know it kind of was, you know, fucking with her mental and stuff. So, you know, she was coming out and, you know, expressing that. So she, you know, had her internet rants when, you know, involving that or whatever. And then so she happened to book an interview with Shannon Sharp on Club Shay Shay. And so, mind you guys, remember the top of the year, like I said, you know, that Cat Williams interview really knocked Shannon Sharp into a new algorithm. Everybody and their mama is booking a Shannon Sharp Club Shay Shay interview. Everybody and their mama is including Shannon Sharp Club Shay Shay in their rollout, in their press releases, all that shit. Everybody is booking Shannon Sharp. Everybody wants to be on a Shannon Sharp Club Shay Shay podcast, okay? So there's that. So then he knocked himself into a new algorithm. Cat Williams knocked his ass right into a new it's a whole trick, and you know, then there's the comedic beef, and the niggas is more rap beef. Everybody calling each other out this year. It's a lot going on, right? Anywho, so it was Amanda Seals' turn this time. So she had some shit going down. She got a Club Shay Shay booking, and she got on there, and so she can get on that platform, and you know, when, you know, like that's the platform now. Club Shay Shay is the platform now to come on to now. So everybody can hear your ass and see your ass. So that's what happened. She booked her a Club Shay Shay interview, right? So she was on the podcast and she was on there and trying to explain herself and she was using his platform or whatever to take control of the narrative and just to give people more understanding and be more transparent. I think in the interview, I watched the whole interview and of course she came on there because she was a hate train going on and she wanted to be seen and she wanted to be on a platform where she can be heard, but also she wanted to explain herself, whether it's give people more understanding on her and why she's like this or the unfairness that she has experienced and things like that. And honestly, I know that Amanda Seales is not perfect by any means at all. I'm sure she has flaws and she has had missteps and she's at fault with certain things with people, but we all are. None of us are perfect, but also there are things where there is a hate train and there is, bullying and there is people that hop on the bandwagon to hate her and things like that. I think that Amanda Seales experiences, bandwagon hate, even with me, right? I think that I relate to Amanda. When she's going through certain things, I kind of tap into my little experiences that I have had, in school and middle school and high school and stuff. If someone don't like you, then they don't like you, or it only takes someone to say this about you, and then it's telephone. They'll all say this, and they don't even have to know you, or even meet you, or even experience you. They'll just take something and run with it, and then now it's so many people say the same thing. Now it's true. You know what I'm saying? I've experienced that myself. I've experienced things where a group of people don't like me, or say they don't like me because they don't like me, and now they're saying it's a train like a bandwagon or whatever, and I've had, there's people that would stand up for me, and I'll never forget the people that would stand up for me, or people that wouldn't follow the crowd in hating me or having an issue with me. And there's people that I remember one time I had gotten into a fight with somebody, this girl. She was a mean girl, and real quick though, I used to work in retail in college, early on in college and later on in college too. And I think I was maybe 19, 20 maybe. I was working at a store in DC. I was working at a store in DC. And it wasn't Target, but it was definitely it's a popular store, a popular fashionable store that all the girls go to. It was in DC. And it was a mean girl in the store. She was the mean girl or whatever. And so one day, out of nowhere, she started fucking with me. And so I didn't really know why during that time. I didn't know why, but I always knew that she was the mean girl of the store and whatever, right? So she was fucking with me one day, and I was just I was confused. I'm like, why is she messing with me today? What's going on, right? What the fuck, right? So that was that, right? So she was fucking with me the whole day. So then at some point, I was telling girl, what? So I kind of snapped back at her or whatever. So then that point, we're arguing in the store, and the store is closed, and we're doing the go backs and stuff. No one's in the store but us, the employees and stuff. So we're all doing go backs. She fucking with me, and I said something back to her. So we're arguing, right? Whatever, we're arguing. So then we clock out, and so she waits for me. I'm not going to say the name of the store, but if you guys are from DC, I'm going to say some things, and you're like, oh shit, you used to work at da 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 da. Yeah. So anyway, so the store is right by this train station. When you walk out the store, it's right by the escalators where the train station is, right? So, when we were arguing, right, it was a shouting match or whatever. And then the manager separated us, made us go over there, or whatever the fuck, go clock out upstairs and go clock out right here. But either way, you do all that, doing all this, but that we both go on the train, right? So we're gonna whatever. Anyway, so. So we clock out. I guess, she had her, she's the mean girl of the store. So of course the mean girl has her clique, right? She's the mean popular girl of the store. So it's the mean popular girl has the clique or whatever, right? So she clocks out, I clock out or whatever the fuck. She clocks out upstairs, I clock out downstairs, whatever, right? So she runs down the escalator, right? And runs outside the door to wait for me, I guess, right? So she knows, so I guess at some point she tells her clique she wants to press me, right? And so this is the thing about me, right? I don't care if I win, lose, whatever the fuck. If you try to press me, I'ma press you back. We can make a sandwich, bitch. Like we can do this. Like we can both be the panini. You one side of the panini, I'm outside. If you want to pull up on me, I will come to you and let's slap when you're pulling up. What's up? Hi, I'm here. I'm not gonna run from no bitch. I never ran from a bitch. If you know me, since we was kids and up, you know that I might have lost some shit. But did I run from that hoe? I did not. Okay. Anywho, so she ran out the door. She ran out the door to wait for me outside the door, right? Because like I said, the doors are right by the train. This is in D.C. If you guys know what I'm saying, I'm not going to say the name of the store. So the doors are right next to the escalators that lead down to the train station. And I was living in Largo. So the train station was on the blue line. And so, like, you know, of course, I'm taking the blue line to Largo Townsend Station, right, to home. So, yeah, the train station, which is on the blue line, next to the store that we worked at in D.C., you know what I'm saying? So, she waited outside the doors, right? Mind you, but this is where she fucked up. Why would you wait outside of the store doors where you work at? You could have just met me downstairs in the train. We could have just fought downstairs at Metro Center inside the thing, not outside your job, right? Anyway, so she waited for me outside the door, right? And so I walk out with, I had like a little friend or whatever. And so I see that she, because I had bought some clothes that day. And the friend was walking, because the girl I was with, she was like, yeah, so I saw, so I, we walked to the door, right? So the door, it was like a wooden door, but it had glass panels and you could see through the panels and stuff. So I saw that she was outside waiting for me with her little clique of friends. And I saw her like, oh, she want to press me. Oh, bet. Okay, here you go. Hey, so-and-so, can you hold my bag for me, please? She held my bag for me. I went outside, and as soon as I went outside, she was like, yeah, so, da-da-da. Like, everything lit up when I came outside, right? I said, oh. So, I was like, oh. So, she was like, oh, yeah, so, what you said? Da-da-da. I said, what? And she was like, yeah, what you was saying? I said, what? I said, bitch. Bitch, what's up? I said, what's up, bitch? I got her, she got my face. I was like, what's up, bitch? What's up, bitch? She was shot. Her face was like, I said, yeah, I'm not scared of your ass. Like, you waiting outside for me? You waiting outside? All right, bet. What's up, bitch? What's up, bitch? I was like, bitch, what's up, bitch? What's up, bitch? What's up, bitch? Like, I'm her face like, what's up? You outside waiting for me. What you gonna do? Period. That's the type of shit I'm on. Period, right? So then she swung on me, right? So she swung on me, right? Her friend was behind, her best friend in the store. Her best friend was behind me, right? The girl swung on me. I was in the middle of swinging on her. The best friend pulled my hair from the back, right?
Yeah,
so the best friend pulled my hair from the back, right? Before I could land my shit, because the bitch hit me in my fucking jaw, right? Because I'm like waiting for you to do something because you outside waiting for me, bitch. Oh, hey, hello, hi, what's up? Right, so she hit me in my face, right? So as I'm trying to hit her back, the friend came up behind me and pulled my hair back, right? Mind you, everybody outside sees this. Everybody's outside sees this, right? Pull my hair back. Mind you, this is in D.C. D.C. So there's people coming to come to the station as well, to go downstairs in the station as well. So there's white people, kids, everybody. This is at nighttime too, but it's like, this is D.C. This is the nation's capital. You know what I'm saying? So the managers burst out the doors too and break us up, right? So we didn't really fight. We didn't get to really fight, but we're going back and forth. And then she was like, because the thing, mind you, she's a mean girl, but I don't know why she's pressing. I don't really, because I still really don't know why she's coming for me. I just thought that she was being a mean bitch, right? I still don't really know why. So then someone calls the police. Someone outside was scared and called the police. And white people like, oh my God. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're fighting with. So the police come or whatever. They break us up or whatever. And then we just end up like, we end up leaving or whatever. I don't know. But we were arguing. I was telling her, I was like, you need help. Y'all tried to, because the friend came up behind me and pulled my hair. Why your friend pulling my hair? What? So I'm like, bitch, you need help. You need somebody to help you. And she's like, what? No, I don't. Like, yeah, your friend came up behind me and pulled my hair. Why? Why are you pulling my hair? Why? I can't hit you back. You hit me first. I let you hit me first. I let you hit me first. Yeah, yeah. Cause don't she wanted to smoke, and I gave it to her. Yeah. Anyway, so it all got spread, whatever. Fuck, we all ended up going home. Whatever. I called my, it was a lot going on. Whatever. We all left. Whatever. We all went home. Right. Long story short. But then we had came back. So of course this happened outside of the, like right outside the doors of the job. So we got suspended or whatever. And so then I guess the corporate had called us separately. And mind you, there's a camera outside the door too. This is at right outside the doors of the job. And there's panels, there's glass panels that you can see through the doors. Right. So they call me. I don't know what the girl said, but they call me. The corporate calls me. And I told them the truth. I'm like, we were arguing in the store. Because, of course, the cameras caught us arguing in the store. Yeah, we were arguing. And mind you, she left out the door. She left out before me to wait for me outside the door, right? So, like, she left, whatever. So I said, yeah, we were arguing, whatever. And then when I walked, she was outside waiting for me. I walked out the door. And, she got in my face. And I got her face back. She waited outside for me to at the door, and then she got my face, and I got back in her face, and I did all this. So I told them what I did, right? And I told them what I did, and I told them what I said. So, long story short, they ended up firing her. They ended up firing her and her friend, and they kept me, right? So some of her friends were mad that I stayed and she got fired, so that they didn't like me at the store, right? So then there was one, so I had my little couple friends, whatever, right? But then it was one girl that the other girl was cool with, though. The one that got fired, they was cool with. She was one girl, she was like cool and quiet, so she was cool with everybody, but she was also kind of popular too. Well, popular in the store, and then she was also like the best dressed in the store too. Like, so everybody liked her or whatever. But she was cool with me too. And the thing is, like, she would tell me, like, they tell me not to talk to you. They hated that she still talked to me because she's supposed to be in the clique. But she was like, no, like, they can't tell me who I can and can't talk to. Right. I don't got a problem with you. You ain't doing nothing to me. And I'll never forget. And I had people, and even my friend Jasmine, like, she's like my best friend. Like, she will always take up for me too. She's like, no, like, you don't know Danielle. Like, that's not, you're just being you don't even know her. Why are you talking shit about her? You don't even know. So people like that, I will never forget. They're still my friend. So I never forget people like that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I've experienced the hate train and the bandwagon because, I've had that experience where, you don't have to even know me. You can just sit there and be a fucking follower and carry on a bullshit message. Don't even have to fucking know me. You know what I'm saying? But they didn't like me because the girl got fired. Probably the girl got fired and I didn't. And they told me, the store told me, we kept you because you told the truth. You told what you did. But then also, on camera, we saw the argument, and then we also saw that she waited outside the door for you. Right. And as soon as you came outside the door, everything erupted. Right. So she waited outside the door for you. Right. So it's like, I can't. I'm defending myself because you waited outside the door for me. You did that. You did. And even the managers was like, yeah, like, you supposed to just, like, go down the street real quick or something like that. Because the thing is, also too, like, if you wanted to meet me down the street, I would have went down the street. I would have met you down the street too. Let's get you. Let's get nobody. With it, cause like, what? Like, first of all, my parents ain't raised no bitch. And also, I've experienced bullying in school where, like, I didn't always have confidence, and I didn't always know how to defend myself verbally, and I also underestimated my physical aspect as well. But so I think nowadays I overcompensate for all the times I was bullied. And so now I just go extra hard. Like, oh, you what? What? Like, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm extra, like, I don't go. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying, though? Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that's how I relate to Amanda Seals. But anyway, so she, huh? Leave her alone. So that's how I relate to Amanda Seals. But there were some things in the interview. She talked about how she was kicked out of that Black Awards party situation or whatever, when she was still playing on Insecure. And she actually broke her silence about Issa Rae because she never really spoke on Issa Rae specifically when she was going through that whole backlash when she was kicked out the Black awards party, whatever black party it was, with the awards or whatever back then, like back in like 2019 or whatever the fuck, right? So she, I'm going to play the clip real quick so you guys can hear what Amanda Seales said about Issa Rae.
Publicly. Never talked about this publicly. Because it has always been incredibly important to me to protect Issa. Because I know that Issa is doing something within this business that so few people get to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not something I desire to do. Like, I'm not interested in getting a $100 million production deal. Like, that's not a life that I want for myself. But I know that her role is very important. And so I've always protected Issa. However, there's just been enough instances at this point where I should have been protected by Issa and I wasn't. And one of my biggest problems that we have discussed several times in this interview is that I think people are going to show up for me the way I show up for them.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's at a point where my protecting of Issa has become turned on to me and something that people are using against me. There's a whole narrative that is completely false. That people keep spinning. They keep saying, you know, that I'm this mean girl on this set, that I harmed these people on this set. I just want to point out something very basic. How can I be a mean girl on a set that ain't my set?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Because it's
your
show.
You are my boss. I don't even have the capacity to be the mean girl here.
Right.
Because you can fire me. So there's no way for me to be a mean girl in this situation. And I know some people that may buck up against like the confirmation bias that they've created, but it simply is the truth. At the end of season one, I pulled Issa aside after this, I said, can we go to dinner? I want to take you to dinner. I took her to dinner. I said, I feel like you think I have something against you. And I don't know why you feel that way. Cause we had been cool from even before this.
Right.
No, I said, I feel like you have something against me. And she said, well, I feel like you have something against me. And I was like, based on what? She said, well, I guess I was looking at you like your character. Am I that good of an actress? She wrote the character, bro. What? And so I said, you know what? So let's clean the slate because I have nothing against you. I really don't. And if that came off, that was not my intention. But by the end of the show, you know, there were just certain scenarios where I had to really always be the bigger person and be the balm to the situation. And then in season five, she just came out of her face at me one time too many. And I just chose to stop being the bomb because the show was rapping. It was the end of the season. It was the end of the series. And I'm just not going to keep doing this.
So what did you do?
Nothing. I just stopped communicating.
Oh. I mean, I had a little rail. And he says that Issa is like most of her set is with women, camera people, et cetera, et cetera. And that she's very empowering to women.
Oh, I disagree. She wasn't empowering to me. She didn't feel like she didn't feel like I deserved to be protected. I'm only giving a portion of the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I respect Issa Rae and what she does, but like I also respect, we have to respect how Amanda feels and her point of view and her perspective. You know what I'm saying? She also, Amanda Seales also mentioned Sarunas Jackson, who played on Insecure as well. He played the married man that Molly was fucking. I remember he came out and was talking when the Amanda Seales hate train was going on back then with the whole, when she got kicked out of that party. He was saying, like, he hopped online and said, yeah, well, you know, if you're a mean person, that's what happens when you're a mean person, something like that, like going against Amanda Seales. And Amanda mentioned him in the interview with Shay Shay as well, saying, like, you know, and I don't know why the hell, I don't know why the fuck he had to say anything to say. Like, he was the one, you know, I guess, you know, he had a baby with one of the cast members of Insecure, and there was some drama behind that where, like, he wasn't claiming the baby at first, and it was a whole thing with that. And Amanda was like, you know, there were people on the cast that, you know, he was cool with or whatever, he would kiki with, but then behind his back, they would talk shit about how he had a baby on the low and didn't claim the baby. And, like, you know, she was like, he came to her, and she came to him and was like, hey, by the way, you know, those people that you think are your friends, they're talking shit about you. I'm not with that. I'm just letting you know, blah 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 blah. And, you know, if you're the kid's father, you need to take pride in that, and blah 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 blah, whatever, right? So she had his back. So she's like, I looked out for you, but you want to sit there and, you know, she was like, I don't know if you thought that she was gonna get a couple extra scenes by doing this, you know. But you see what I'm saying though, like how It's fake. It's people can be fucking fake, and people can be on dick, be dick eating and shit, and on bandwagons and shit. So like, this is like, you know, I get this. Like, you know, everybody is fucking dick eating, and they want to come at you because it's the popular thing to do, to come at Amanda Seales. Like, Amanda Seales is the punching bag. You know what I'm saying? So I get that. So from the way she explained that, I understand that, and I can relate to that, to some aspect of that. You know, also with Issa Rae, you know, some people, like, you know, there's people out there like Issa Rae that sometimes they don't want to don't like confrontation, or they don't like drama. They don't like, you know, so it's like, we don't really know these people, but from what Amanda Seales explained, I can relate to that, and it makes sense to me. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I have some other topics to discuss. But another thing that I noticed with Club Shay Shay is that there's a trend that people love to, I guess one person said it and everybody else wants to say it now, but there's a trend of people saying that Shannon Sharp isn't sharp enough to have these discussions. See what I said? See what I did? But no, like, people are saying that Shannon isn't smart enough to have these discussions, because it was at one point in the interview where she was describing a racist situation that she was involved in, where kids were calling her the N-word and blah 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 blah, like when she was 10 years old, and then he was like, oh well, they're just kids, they don't know better. But it was like a whole big thing with that, and people was like, what the fuck, how you, like, what, how, what, huh? But like, you know, people was, there's a trend online, you know, people saying like, oh, Shannon Sharp isn't smart enough to have these interviews, because, you know, of course, like, I mean, in the interviews, like, you know, you could point out certain parts, even with Cat Williams and Monique or whatever, like, there's certain parts where, like, you know, people feel like he could have, he should have understood this or whatever the fuck, I don't know, whatever. But at the end of the day, y'all keep booking these damn interviews, okay? They keep booking these damn interviews, and y'all keep fucking y'all keep clicking play, okay? So if y'all stop clicking play, these niggas ain't gonna keep coming on here, and they're gonna go somewhere else, that they're gonna come to the toe. You keep pressing play. So if you don't want Shannon Sharp to interview these niggas, stop clicking play. That's it. You keep pressing play. Oh, J-Rob said come to herd. J-Rob said come to herd. He said that. I ain't say that. But if you want to, I got a degree. I got a degree from a good school. Towson University. Okay. It ain't Harvard, but it's Towson University. Towson, you know, Towson a good school. Towson ain't for no motherfucking dummies. That's all I'm motherfucking saying. I know words. I know what they mean. I know how to put them together. I know shit. Anywho, but no, y'all keep pressing play, so he gonna keep getting these niggas on the show. Y'all just want to say shit online because it sound good. Shut up. Anywho, so Glow really got arrested for DUI. Girl, stop, that's not cute. And then she went online, posted a picture of a big bottle of cognac on her head, because she got, like, that's not, first of all, okay, like, whatever, but like, stop, drinking and driving is not cool, guys. That could have gone way worse than what it did. Like, stop, that's not cool. Anyway, next, did I discuss the Glorilla and JC beef last episode? I don't know. Either way, so there's comedic beef, there's female rap beef, there's nigga rap beef. It's beef. I don't know. Was it Roof Chris? I don't know. Outback Steakhouse. I don't know. What's another beef place? Shit. I don't know. Beef. I don't know, Arby's, STK, it's, well, you know what I'm saying, fuck, you know, whatever, like, that was fun, the Glorilla and JC beef online, that was fun to see on Twitter. Okay, so real quick, though, before I get, this Bia versus Cardi thing, it's getting weird. It's getting weird to me, only because it's looking thirsty on Bia's end of things. And I really like Bia. I've expressed that online and on the show at some point. I really like Bia, but it's getting a little corny to me, because it looks like you're trying to beef with Cardi B because she's an easy target, you know, and then also you want some clout from that. And it's obvious to me, and I don't like it, and I want you to stop. She threw a shot at Cardi B in some song with Dreezy, some remix to a song that Dreezy has or whatever. And it was weird to me. I'm like, why are you doing this? You know Cardi B's not copying you. I guess she's mad about the whole, Cardi B had used the same Missy Elliott sample in a song that she put out, what was it called, Like That or whatever the fuck. But the thing is, like, Cardi B showed receipts that she recorded Like That before B even put out her Missy Elliott sample. Cardi B just put it out now. But either way, like, that Missy Elliott sample has been sampled so many times this past year. Like, it's was just like, girl, what? And then also, like, why are you acting like Cardi B's copying you in music videos? Like, come on now. Like, these creative, I don't know if it's a creative agency or whatever, or I don't know, but like, there's a trend. There's every era has a trend. Like, music videos have trends. People do the same. Like, it's nothing is new under the sun. Like, it's okay. So, like, the aerial shot or like the below shot is a trend now. Whatever. Okay. Like, whatever. Like, she's not, I don't think that she's on your mood. I don't think that you are on Cardi B's mood board. I just don't think so. You're a beautiful girl, Bia, but like, I feel like this beef is really weird. And also, it's super weird to me because last year you were just on Instagram Live acting like you were stressed about how people were trying to say that you were beefing with Cardi B, and you was like, "Oh, I'm not beefing with her. I don't know her. I'm not beefing just because my friend don't like her. I don't. That doesn't mean anything. I don't know her. I don't know them. I don't know her. But now you want to beef with, like, you, it's like you want this beef because you want this clout, and it's weird to me. Also, I don't, like I said before, I don't think that you're on Cardi B's mood board. And then also, Cardi B, you know, yeah, you may be able to rap better than Cardi B, but Cardi B can talk her shit when it comes to these looks, these fashion, these visuals. Cardi B is one of the best dressed rappers right now, in my opinion. I think that she dresses better than you. And then also, I just feel like, you know, sometimes with your outfits, I think that your outfits wear you. You don't wear your outfits. So I think that you should focus on that instead of trying to have fake beef and get clout, because it's going to look corny. I don't like this for you, Bia, because I think you are very talented. And I think you have a very unique voice. Stop, please. So it's Drake versus Kendrick versus Future versus Rick Ross. I guess him and Rick Ross were having like a mansion off at one point. I could not relate to that. I'm sorry. They were having like a jet off. Like, who had the older jet? Or it's a jet off. Like, it was weird. I'm like, whoa, I don't know this. So then Drake put out two songs dissing Kendrick. The Push Up song, I like that one. But then he came out with another song with an AI Tupac and AI Snoop, which was weird. It got taken down by now. I don't know why you did that. You could have just kept with the first one, whatever. And there's that. So Kendrick hasn't responded yet. We'll wait for that. Meanwhile, J. Cole took off the damn 7-minute diss that off his project for, I don't know, whatever. He did that. Okay, fine. Next. So Quavo and Chris Brown are beefing over two women that they are no longer with. So, Quavo and Chris Brown. First of all, Chris Brown threw a shot at Quavo in one of his songs. I don't know this guys, whatever. You guys know it, whatever. I'm just going to, whatever. I don't know. Okay. So, Chris threw the shot at Quavo first. Quavo then responded with a diss to Chris Brown called Tinder. Then Chris Brown then responded with another jab at him. And in the song that Chris Brown responded with, it basically said, you know, when Takeoff got shot, everybody wished it was you. Like, you know, he went low. Chris Brown went real low. Then Quavo came back and snapped back at him or whatever. Oh, wait, no, sorry. When Chris Brown came back at Quavo, he also mentioned that he fucked Sweetie, or alluded that he fucked Sweetie or whatever the fuck. And there's that. And then Sweetie came out and was like, oh my gosh, I have to rewrite my verse to Nani because, whoa, right? Of course, capitalize on whatever, right? So then Quavo came back and was like, you a coked out Michael Jackson, blah, blah, blah. You beat women. You're mad I fucked your bitch. And I don't care if you fuck Sweetie because I can make a Sweetie, da, 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 right? Whatever. So then, so now, you know, everyone's like, Sweetie, girl, put that damn song out now and capitalize off this goddamn song. Got this beef. So girl, like, what the fuck, girl, what? Like, capitalize off this damn, like, cause she has a song called Nani that she's been previewing for the last like week and a half now. Like, girl, put the damn song out. Like, Jesse Wu is singing it too. Like, we all like, girl, put the fucking song out at this point. So I guess the budget got cleared from her label, so they're shooting the video for it now. So I guess she's trying to package up the rollout, cause like, girl, yes. But in the meantime though, when Quavo said he can make a Sweetie, she was like, oh really? So she released a screenshot of a DM of Quavo in her DMs from a couple months ago this year. Basically, I don't know, I guess he was reminiscing on that old thing or whatever. She was like, oh, if you can make me, hopefully the girl that you can make into me can reply to you. Because, like, you know, like, why the fuck you can make somebody, but why are you still DMing me in 2024 and we broke up in 2021 or some shit? Or, you know what I'm saying? What the fuck? Like, no. So there's that. That was some tea there, some hot tea there. I just think that I definitely believe that Sweetie fucked Chris Brown. And I'm not mad at her because Quavo was not faithful to her. So, yeah, go ahead, fuck Chris Brown. I mean, that's some tea right there. I didn't know that. That's some tea right there. Okay. So, you know, Chris Brown you know, they both share exes, I guess, or they both share two girls or whatever. Fuck, I don't know. TMZ caught up with Karrueche leaving the airport, and Karrueche's like, listen, I don't want no parts of this. I'm working. I'm paying my bills. Leave me alone. Okay? Leave me alone. I'm like, why the fuck are you? Because, like, even the first time Chris Brown mentioned Karrueche, remember in the song, Karrueche? Like, she's like, what the fuck? Why are you screaming my name? It's like, leave me alone. Like, take me out of this. I'm not even a rapper. Like, leave me alone. I'm not even a fucking music. Like, leave me alone. So there's that. People were wondering, like, you know, wow, how does Y, because, like, I guess Sweetie is with YG right now. People are like, wow, I wonder how YG feels about this, you know, this revelation of her fucking Chris Brown at some point or whatever the fuck. In my opinion, I just think that I don't really think that YG's very faithful. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really know. I mean, you know, we've seen YG out with other women. You know, other women in the industry. Like, he's had other relationships and he wasn't faithful. Like, you know, when has he ever been faithful? Is he faithful this week? Like, are these niggas ain't faithful? So I don't think that he's faithful either. So it's like, what? Because even with YG, like, I'm sure they like each other or whatever, but she, you know, and we see them online or whatever, but they don't flaunt each other like that. Like, YG has posted her on his story a couple times, but like the way that she would like post Quavo when he was like, you know, the way that they would like when her and Quavo were together, and the way that they would like go hard and like post each other and, you know, do it, like, she don't do that with YG. And I'm sure that she really loves him, but it's like, sis know what time it is. I feel like, you know what I'm saying, like, these niggas, a lot of these niggas is not faithful in this, they just not, even the bummy ones that I know in real life, you know, a lot of these niggas ain't faithful, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I'm sure, like, she knows that YG probably do some, you know, whatever, but I mean, whatever, I don't know these niggas, but I mean, shit, I don't think that YG's fucking faithful, so I mean, hey, fuck it, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, YG knows, and he knows that Sweetie, like, listen, I can fuck your op. I can fuck you. Want to cheat on me? I'm a fuck your op. Play with me if you want to. I'm gonna fuck your op. Whatever. Anywho, and then so I guess so. Like I said, 2024 is the year of the beef. Is the year of the calling out niggas. So DaBaby was on a podcast interview. I don't know. I think it was like a Shaquille O'Neal podcast or whatever the fuck. So he was on a podcast and he was saying that there was a rapper that after the whole Kendrick stuff that, you know, after the whole beef and with Kendrick and Drake and Future and all them like first started or whatever, and you know, he saw the impact and he saw how, you know, whatever. He said that a rapper, he wouldn't say the name. He said a lyrical rapper that, you know, that we all may know, reached out to him and was like, hey, we should have a fake beef. This would be good for both of us or whatever. And everyone is like, that sounds like Jordan Lucas that probably did that. And it probably was. But it's like, and if the baby was like, let me just play it for you. The baby was basically like, I'm not doing that shit. Like, no, but I'll play you guys the clip. Let me see if I can find it. So you can hear the baby. Let me see. Hold on. This is what the baby says.
It's like 2 days after the situation took place. This before J. Cole apologized, matter of fact. I got a call, I won't say from who, I got a call from a certain rapper. It's like a lyricist too, like a lyricist, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure y'all know him if I said his name, 1,000% y'all know him, right? And I got a text from him, he shot me a text, he's like, yo, he like, hit me, you gonna like this. He like, hit me, you gonna like this. I called him, I'm like, what up? He like, what's up with it, how you feeling? I'm good, what's up with it? He like, you wanna go up? How you feeling, you wanna go up? I'm like, what's up, talk to me. He say, man, all the back and forth between, J. Cole and Kendrick got me fired up. Bruh, I feel like we should diss each other. Mm. You know, we cool behind closed doors. Dang. We should diss each other.
That should've
gone. You know what I'm saying? And we cool, we know we cool, whoop, but bruh, I just feel like it'll just go crazy and yada, yada, yada. And I told him, I kind of like, you know what I'm saying, responding like the same way I told him. I'm like, look, I'm like, I know for a fact what that'll do, right? But I'm like, at the same time, it's a little more personal with me. Like, I wouldn't even get you going. Certain things about you if I don't really feel a certain way.
Yeah,
about
so basically, it's like I don't blame him for saying. First of all, that's corny as fuck. But now, but you see that this shit be fake sometimes. Like, these niggas be planning these stunty ass. Bia, you want to beef with Cardi B for streams, and I see through you. Stop. You can actually rap. Stop. You had a song with Nicki Minaj twice. You don't have to do this, Bia. Stop. Okay, we know that you're doing. You're baiting her in. Stop. But yeah, the baby was just like, the baby was like, no. And I'm glad he said no. Cause what the fuck? Cause what if they start like, you want these two men, first of all, the baby killed a nigga. Like, he will shoot you. Like, you know what I'm saying? So what if you hit some like, what you gonna say that's fake? You gonna come at nigga like, what? Like, huh? No. You gonna really start beefing when you say some shit. We know the baby shoot nigga. Like, don't be doing that. Anyway, next, Megan. So Megan's old photographer, Emilio Garcia, I think his name is Emilio Cucci on Instagram or whatever. I remember seeing him with Megan a lot. He's her old photographer, videographer or whatever. He's suing her for unpaid wages, but also mentioned that he was like sexually assaulted or harassed at some point because he was in like a moving car and Megan was sitting next to him with another girl, I guess having sex with the girl next to him or whatever the fuck, and he's suing or whatever the fuck. But he's suing for unpaid wages, but he mentioned the sexual situation in the suit. I don't know, whatever, right? Here's the thing. You guys heard the story or whatever, right? So he's suing for unpaid wages, but they're mentioning the sexual stuff because, you know, slander, right? Megan Thee Stallion, you guys hate her, hate train, you know, whatever, right? So here's the thing, right? I'm going to skip all that because, you know, whatever, right? So if she didn't pay him, that's fucked up. You should pay him, okay? A couple things I want to get to this. So I think that Megan, like, from what we all see, Megan Thee Stallion she fraternizes too much with her employees. And I understand that she has a very unique situation. You know, she lost both of her parents. She doesn't really have like that built in support. So I guess she tries to find comfort in people that are around. You know, I understand. But, you know, I think she fraternizes too much with her employees. And, you know, it's just too much. I think that you blur the lines too much, where now I'm sure, like, you know, because there's videos of, like, you know, when he was still working with her, you know, she would twerk in front of him and, you know, they would be cool, like, you know, it's twerking, like, just whatever. But, like, it's just, this is a work environment. You're like, you're blurring the lines, because now he's saying that you fucked the bitch next to him in the car, which you probably did. But it's like, you know, it's just like, it, for him to even be able to say that, it's just, you know, but then also you didn't pay him well, you know, you might have not have paid him properly, or it was some janky shit with the business, and, you know, it was some shit that went down with the business that, you know, he's pissed about it. But I think that, you know, because she calls her, because her hairdresser now is like, she calls him her BFF, and, like, you know, with she had a stylist named EJ at one point. She was close to him at one point, but then they fell out. But then now he's like, he'll, you know, it's just, you know, and then she fell out with her old hairstylist at one point, but then they're still cool. But I guess they fell out because, you know, she wanted him to be her personal hairstylist. She didn't want him to have no other clients, and he was like, no, I can't do that. Like, so they fell out about that. But they're cool. I think they're cool now, Jonathan. I think they're cool now. But it's like, you know, it's like certain things that she wants, and it's like, you know, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? I guess that at some point, you know, she wanted Emilio to be her personal videographer, and she didn't want him to have other clients, and, you know, that didn't work well. And I guess that kind of like affected the money or whatever. I guess that affected his employment with her, and then, like, you know, he eventually trickled out, and they eventually fired him or whatever. But I think that she needs to create boundaries between her hairstylist, her employees, and her actual friends. I think that she mixes, because, like, even on Instagram, like, even online, when what she shows us, like, you know, she mixes her personal friends and her employees. She mixes them all together, and they're all friends, and they're all, like, but, you know, whatever. And I'm sure, like, you know, of course, you know, you're with people all the time, and you become close, you become friends. I get it. But it's like, there needs to be a boundary there, and you don't need to be fucking bitches in cars, and you don't need to be in situations where if they get mad at you, they'll say, oh, you did this one time, and now it's like slander, and now, you know, the internet is distracted with the tea and not the actual truth behind what's actually going on. Because right now Emilio is suing her for unpaid wages, but we're all focused on the fact that she fucked a girl in the car next to him, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, that's just, you know, I feel like she needs some guidance there. But again, you know, she lost both of her parents. She doesn't really have that built in support. So she's like, I think that she's a little lost. She, you know, hopefully this, you know, it's a lot. I feel like Megan is just going through a lot right now. I think that she is human. I think that she makes really, you know, poor decisions that really, really, really impact her. I think that she, you know, this is a lot right now. A lawsuit when you're about to go on tour, you need to sell these tickets. And then also, aren't you dropping an album? Because your tour is next month. You need to drop an album. album soon because of the tour, you know, because of the tour. And then you know, also, like, you know, it's just a lot going on with you. You're independent. And it's like, you know, it's a lot going on. So it's like, this is a lot. For me, because I guess in the lawsuit, Amelia said that he quit his full-time job to be her videographer and stuff. And I get it, because you can't have a full-time job and, like, be, like, have all your attention on these artists, because, like, that whole industry is you have to either be in or out, or, you know what I'm saying? You know, I guess the paperwork wasn't right. I guess, you know, he was supposed to be the full-time videographer, but I guess the paperwork reflected that he was like a contractor and he wasn't, like, you know, officially he was like an independent contractor. So, but it was like a whole thing. It was like the paperwork, the business wasn't solidified or whatever on his end, on, you know, so it was like they could do certain things or whatever. Because I've actually worked with, so remember I will always talk about how I want to be an A&R at some point. So I actually did some stuff for a couple of artists recently, within the last year or whatever, and with my full time job. But I helped them a lot with, like, my professional expertise in certain areas. I helped them on a professional level on some of the things that I could do professional, like with my actual skills, and it was a learning experience. There were some good that came out of it, and there were some bad that came out of it. For me, I don't think that I would ever do that again. I would probably do that. Well, I would never do that again unless I have a solidified agreement that is concretely, or just like that is beneficial to me and both of us. I want to have, like, a concrete agreement. But I feel like me looking out for people, and, you know, I feel like these artists, a lot of these artists, because, you know, in the lawsuit, he mentions that she would call him a fat bitch and, like, call, you know, things. You know, I feel like these artists, you know, we're all trying to make it. They're all passionate. You know, they may have, you know, moments where, like, they feel down on themselves, and, you know, but, you know, it's a very tricky industry. But I think that a lot of these artists are very entitled, and they're very entitled, and some of them don't have room to be entitled. Like, they're very entitled and with no money, or they can't even pay you. You're doing them a favor, but they're still entitled, and they'll still talk to you fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I've experienced that, and I would never do that again unless you paying me my paper, and there is a solidified agreement. Ain't no loopholes, ain't no loose ends. You know what I'm saying? There needs to be a solidified compensation and a solidified understanding. And if you can't meet these requirements, I'm out. Because you do things for people and they won't do it for you, or they don't respect. Because I feel like a lot of times, like, someone said this one day, and I was like, oh, whoa. They said when you look out, or you do free shit, or you do favors and stuff, it doesn't, you'll attach yourself to someone as a favor, and you'll do it out the kindness of your heart without, like, requiring a payment or whatever. It doesn't always come with respect. So when you're sitting there doing someone a favor on a professional level, and you're actually you're benefiting them, and they disrespect you, it's like, whoa. Because you look, sometimes you'll look too green. You look like you're desperate to be in that, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't always come with the respect. So, like I said, I would never do that again unless there's some sort of solidified agreement. You know what I'm saying? So, and I think that his business wasn't right with this. Is the camera still on? The business wasn't right on the back end. And they were able to pluck him off once he was asking too many questions, or, you know, it wasn't right. He needed to. I think that the fact that, you know, oh, Megan Thee Stallion, she's a major artist. Oh my gosh, I get to be her videographer. You know what I'm saying? You jump into that because it's like, oh my gosh. But no, like, I think that, you know, everyone should protect themselves. And I know that a big name could be flashy and bright, but at the end of the day, you need to protect yourself and make sure that your business is right. Period. That's what I got out of that. Okay. Because, you know, people will get mad. People will get mad. If they know a lot about you, they'll get mad and start spilling your tea. Because when Megan was beefing with Nicki Minaj kind of spilt this tea a little bit. I think she said that she kind of mentioned that, oh, the people that you've had Roc Nation fire and came out, Emilio was fired by one of the Roc Nation people because, you know what I mean? So it was like, people will leak your tea when you get them. Like, and also, you need to have people sign these NDAs, honey. You need to have these folks sign these NDAs, Megan Thee Stallion. You have to. But anywho, next. So I'll discuss this more in the music segment. But Normani put out her song 159 featuring Gunna. Finally, oh my gosh, she put out a new song and she gave us an album date. June 14th is the album date, y'all. Oh my God, we're getting a Normani album finally, guys. Huh? J-Rob said 2024, June 14th, 2024. We have an album date, guys. Whoa. I love the song 159. I saw some mixed reviews. Some people were saying that they felt like 159 featuring Gunna felt like an album cut and it shouldn't have been a single. In my opinion, I'm actually glad that she put this song out. I think, you know, buzz singles are a thing still. I think that's fine. Normani has been coming out for the last, 5 years now, and she has had singles that like were like big singles with videos and dancing and things like that. So she's done the big singles before. So I feel like maybe they wanted to take a different route and actually put the song out with no visual. She had some TikToks promoting it or whatever, but you know, the song came out, no music video was with it, which is fine, whatever. I'm sure that she has like a package rollout, you know, coming with the album or whatever, but I'm not mad at it. I'm fine. I'm glad that she finally got to put the song out. I'm really excited for the album. I think the album will be really good. I told you guys before, there's a whole bunch of Normani leaks on YouTube, and those leaks sound really good, so I'm really excited about this actual album. Candy Paint has leaked, y'all, but I guess, you know, y'all made Candy Paint viral on TikTok, so she put out a nice little Candy Paint TikTok dance challenge thing or whatever the fucking, I guess Candy Paint will be on the album, and I guess Candy Paint is getting a music video, like she said that Candy Paint has a music video coming with it. Candy Paint has leaked on YouTube, child, but I guess y'all love it so damn much, she gonna put it on the album anyway. Okay, so one of my friends, they sent me something. We discussed it that night when all the songs came out, because some other songs, like I said, I'll mention this in the music segment. But so my friend, so Jonathan sent me a Threads. I thought it was interesting. So I'm gonna read. So he screenshot a thread and he asked me what I thought about it or whatever. So I'm gonna read this. So there's a person on Thread that said, Normani and Coco Jones have the same management team now. Coco has a whole text community with her fans and has been soft launching her new upcoming single for the past few weeks. Coco Jones has a new song coming out soon, guys, by the way, sidebar. Did anybody remember that Normani's comeback single 159 was coming out on Friday? Why is there a whole Candy Paint challenge when it's not even a single? And where is the video trailer for 159? Because I know she's not finna drop a single after 2 years with no video and expect it to be a hit. Don't piss me off. That's what someone said. And then someone replied and said, difference between Coco and Normani, unfortunately, is personality. Coco is a star because of both her talent and personality. Normani just doesn't have the electric it factor like Coco. She also doesn't seem as confident, and it's hard to create content without confidence and personality. That's what someone said as a reply to the other person, right? I disagree. I'm going to tell you why. So Normani and Coco Jones, they do have the same management. I believe, I cannot remember this woman's name, but I love what she's doing. She actually has an interview with Tank and Jay Valentine on the R&B Money podcast. I think her name is Lydia or something like that. Her Instagram name is Illis Ethiopian on Instagram. She used to manage Doja. I think she still does, or maybe I'm not sure, but she managed Doja Cat early on during the Moo era. She was there during Moo. And she manages Coco Jones, and she also manages Normani. Like I said, her name is Illis Ethiopian on Instagram. So they have the same management. So they said that Coco has that it over Normani. I think that they both are it girls, but saying that, I disagree that Coco has it over Normani. I think that Normani has not released a song in years. But like I said before in past episodes, Normani trends unprovoked on Twitter all the time. All the time, unprovoked. Nothing came out. Nothing. We all have Normani on our mind because when she, the things that Normani has accomplished and the things that she has done are impactful enough for us to be fiending for more. It's like you guys are sitting here saying that she's not an it girl, but you're also admitting that you guys are waiting for her. You guys are anticipating her song. So it's like, which one is it? I don't believe Coco was over Normani at all. They're both different artists. I think that with Coco Jones, it's just more, you know, she's just more visible and she's trying to, I think that Coco Jones's team is trying to build that demand that Normani has. Normani does not have an album out yet. She has been solo for over 5 years, 6 years now, and we're still fiending for more. We're still fiending for more music. And she has not been visibly consistent with us, but we still want more. Coco Jones's team is working with her so she can achieve that, because Coco Jones is not at that yet. Coco Jones just got popping after the initial Terrell interview. You know, we fell in love. I remember her from Let It Shine, but you know, she really got out there because she started with the Terrell stuff, and you know, and then she branched off and they had the Terrell and Coco, the T and Coco show, and then you know, of course she had the ICU that came. That was a smash hit. She got on the Bel Air show. She's working, so she's building that brand. And they're trying to build Coco up. They're doing right by her. They're doing what they're supposed to do with Coco Jones because she needs that. I understand that. So I think that Sweetie had a friend that was involved in her marketing and social media. And remember when Sweetie, during the pandemic, remember when Sweetie would put out all that content and all that, all those TikToks and all those skits and stuff like that? Her friend, to my understanding, was behind all of that and helping her, you know, create all of those social media moments, all those influencer moments. To my understanding, her friend is now working with Coco Jones with her marketing. So now we see a lot of Coco Jones on TikTok doing challenges or on TikTok, you know, creating content. I believe her name is Sabrina. I look at everything. I see everything. So her name is Sabrina. I like her a lot. I like what she does a lot. She's behind the marketing with Coco Jones now, because we see what the marketing with Sweetie did. Because that was a big, Sweetie during the pandemic was a big deal. You know what I'm saying? So now she's working with Coco Jones. So now Coco Jones, we see her, you know, doing skits on TikTok and doing things and, you know, and being more, that's because she needs that. These are what labels and PR and A&R, this is what they do. This is what they're for. So they're helping Coco Jones. Normani, you know, Normani's ingrained in our culture already. So for you to sit there and act like Normani ain't shit, and you sitting here, you say Normani ain't shit, but she has no personality, but then you're fiending for her for songs, and you're fiending for her, like, come on, pick a side. Like, we have to make sense here, guys. We can give hot takes, we can have commentary, but we have to make sense here, guys. Like, you know, I don't, just because Coco Jones, you see her on your timeline more, don't sit there and say that she has more. Don't do that. That's stupid. Like, stop. That's dumb. Okay. So again, Normani has been coming out since 2018. We've gotten videos and dances. We've gotten all that. We've gotten the motivations. We've gotten the wild sides. We've gotten all that shit. She opened for Ariana Grande on tour. Are we forgetting these things, guys? Let's not be dumb. Okay, so if we're gonna give hot takes, let's take from that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's you know what I mean? I'm not mad at Normani putting out the single with no video. I'm fine with that. Cool. When the album comes out, give us that full package rollout. You know, make us believe that. I'm good. Like, I'm fine with that. Do your thing. And that's how I feel about that. So I'm happy for Namani. I'm on the ride with her. I'm there with her. I'm there with her, and I'm there for Coco Jones too. I love Coco Jones. She's beautiful, and I'm waiting for Bella to come out. They need her to come out with that trailer now. Anywho, so there's that. That's what I had to say about that. Real quick, two things. Real quick. Is that good? Because it's coming up on the. Is it good? The camera.
Yeah.
Okay. Real quick, I noticed that, you know, so Chloe Bailey put out a single called Boy Bye like 2 weeks ago, I think. It's pretty, I like it a lot. I don't think it charted on Hot 100. I'm going to check again. If it charted, it's probably really low. I have to go look at it again. But there's been a lot of discourse online about Chloe Bailey. And there's this narrative that, you know, Chloe Bailey and Chloe and Holly, rather, are not getting pushed enough by Parkwood, and Beyonce doesn't do enough for them, blah, 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 right? I disagree with that. I think that, to me, from what I see, I think that Chloe in particular, I'm not sure about Holly. You know, Holly's a new mom now, so we don't really know what she's agreeing to behind the scenes or what she wants to do behind the scenes. She dropped a single called In Your Hands recently as well. But with Chloe, I strongly disagree, because I think that her label, I think they're doing their job with Chloe. I think that Chloe is getting pushed. Parkwood has Chloe is on every time there's a festival out. Chloe is on somebody's lineup. Chloe is always on someone's lineup. Chloe gets promo from Parkwood. Chloe is performing at Coachella both weekends. Chloe had a fucking whole Coachella billboard. Chloe has endorsement deals with her sister, Victoria's Secret, Pandora, Fendi, all of them things. Chloe gets on people's songs. Chloe gets features. So I don't subscribe to the Chloe Bailey is not getting pushed. I think that us as an audience, or just consumers, I think that people are full of shit. And I think that a lot of people say things they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But then also, I think that we shouldn't always blame the machine when people aren't successful or when people don't reach a certain mark. Because at the end of the day, yeah, they can place you there and they can push you and they can do all these things. But at the end of the day, us, the consumers, the audience decides, period. So the label can do what they got to do. The label can give a budget, but the audience decides at the end of the day. Like we've seen time and time again, Lotto, at one point, Lotto got a huge push, you know, but then she's not, you know, the, you know, now the, you know, it, I mean, she's still, you know, she still seems to have a budget, but at one point Lotto had a huge push, but then, you know, her album sales weren't that great. You know what I mean? So the audience didn't, you know, the audience decides. Period. Like I can name anybody. Fucking Sweetie got a huge push. You know, but Sweetie did a lot during the pandemic, and you know, it was a lot going on with Sweetie. You know, she had those singles and stuff that were out. But you know, when she dropped certain mixtapes, the numbers weren't numbering. The audience has to decide. At the end of the day, y'all, you know, it's just y'all letting Instagram fool you. Y'all let the other stuff fool you. But you know, but. Look at she got a Coachella billboard twice. She gets on people's lineups. She's always on the festival. She was at the fucking GLAAD Award. She's performing at award shows. She's getting pushed. She's getting placed. You guys aren't consuming it. You guys don't play. How many times have you streamed Boy Bye? And you want to say she don't get pushed? What are you talking about? It's not always the machine's fault. You guys don't give a fuck in real life. You guys are just saying fucking anything. At the end of the day, the audience decides. That's why sometimes when people are overnight successes, and you think, no, they're not. Like Victoria Monet, like, you know, the audience, she didn't get pushed a lot, but she didn't even get pushed with Jaguar too. But the audience decided, we like On My Mama. And we decided that we like On My Mama so much, she on Coachella lineup, she went on tour. She getting all these placements. She on late night talk shows now. She doing all these things. We decided that we love On My Mama. You get what I'm saying? So like now we're getting these things. You know what I mean? But I just feel like, you know, guys, like it's not always the machine's fault. You know, y'all don't be streaming shit. Y'all don't really care about these niggas. So shut up. Real quick, last two things. Y'all got mad at Beyonce for having long hair. Like, you want her to be bald head? Like, I don't understand what the problem is. I feel like y'all be having some deep rooted issues because y'all grew up bald head and now I had long hair. I still have thick hair. My hair comes to my shoulders, right? You know, I've been, you know, you do shit to your hair break off, whatever, fucking whatever. But I still have thick hair. thick full hair, and it's come like, you know, whatever. It's gonna get longer again, guys. I promise. This is a wig, but is my wig nice? It's really nice. It's really good hair, but it's a bust down middle part underneath this hat. But you know, I grew up with long, thick hair. I remember in school, girls would be jealous because there'll be bald head girls in school that'd be jealous of my long ass hair. I used to have a perm and everything, long, thick hair. You knew me in middle school, high school, and elementary school. You know, I had long hair. You knew it. Don't lie. You know, I had some long ass hair. But I remember people would hate on me. Like, it would be people that were like, those are tracks. Like, what? So, because I'm black, I can't have fucking long hair. But so you want to get mad at a black girl if I have long hair. You want to get mad at that, but then you want to have equality with black women. Stop. Pick a side. We have to stop this, guys. And also, she's rich. She can afford hair care. She can afford people to take care of her hair. She should have long, thick hair, guys. But then you mad at Cardi B for having long, thick hair because she mixed now, but you can't. Like, it's just too much, guys. We have to stop this, guys, okay? Lastly, I think the Drewski and Ruby Rose thing is fake. I don't think they're really together. I need to see some kissing. Y'all gotta have sex in front of me. I don't know what's going on. You gotta be on some Megan Thee Stallion shit. Y'all gotta have sex beside me for me to believe it. I don't know. So there has to be a link coming out soon. There has to be a click the link here coming out soon, because I don't believe this shit. If they are together, congratulations. But right now, it's giving stunt. I'm not hating on you. It's giving stunt. Kiss in front of us. Kiss. I don't know. Kiss. I want to see you kiss something. Anywho, that's it. So on Seen and Heard. Talking about the new you. Talking about the new you. This episode was a hot. So yes, on the Seen and Heard, on the Heard tip, the new music out, Normani 159 with featuring Gunna, love it. JT, y'all bitches, okay. I love that song, okay, by JT, love it. Ice Spice was on the Fisher remix. I love her verse. It was cute. Foggy Raw and Ari Lennox have a song out. Shout out to Foggy Raw. DMV's own Foggy Raw. I met him a couple times. I really like Foggy Raw, and I really want him to succeed. I think that he's very refreshing. I love his poetry. I love that he understands social media. And I think he's very refreshing. I love the song with Ari Lennox. I want to see more from Foggy Raw. I think that he has a lot of potential. I think that he's a fine dark skinned chocolate man. I feel like he can I think he's really refreshing. I'm gonna play a little snippety snip of the song right now. I'll cut it out for YouTube. I'll mute it for YouTube. But I wanna play a little bit of Foggy Raw's song with Ari Lennox, and I love the promo shots that came with it as well. I haven't had a chance to watch the video, but I watch it when I get home. But there's a song called Stay. The song is called Stay a While, featuring Ari Lennox. I'm gonna play a little bit of it right now.
I know God rain. I know SVW rain, 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 rain. I know God destroyed the earth with rain.
All right, that's it. No more, because I gotta mute it on YouTube. But what I love about Foggy Raw, I love the aesthetic. I love that he understands social media. I love his skits. I love his visuals. I love his storytelling. But something about Foggy Raw's voice, it just feels like his voice has a texture to it that I love so much. And also Ari Lennox, she has a texture to her voice that I love. Like, I feel like Foggy Raw's voice sounds like velvet. Like, it sounds like velvet, like satin, or just like it has like a nice, smooth, like rich texture to it that it just makes me feel like gold. I don't know. Like, I just, his voice and like the way he's smooth with it, and then Ari Lennox with her voice. Oh my God. Like this, whoever idea was for them to get on the song together, like, chef's kiss. I love it. Do you have any new music you want to discuss real quick, J-Rob, that you heard? Because last Friday was a big day for music. It was a whole bunch of shit coming out. Not shit. Yeah. No? Anything you listen to right now, though, or no?
I haven't really listened to anything. Mm-hmm. I listened to the diss song.
Oh, Jazz, there's a lot going on. Lastly, I'm watching All American right now, and... There was is this the last season of All American? What's going on? They just ordered. They did a new episode order where they're extending the season 5 with two extra episodes to give a satisfying conclusion. Is it ending? What's going on here? I love that Spencer and Olivia, they're showing that they're so in love. I want that to keep. I don't want any more fights from them, guys. I don't understand why, you know, why can't they be the ones that are engaged? Why, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on with that? Like, I just feel like y'all are using up all of the proposal tea and all the engagement tea and all the pregnancy tea on the other damn couples instead of the damn we watched for Olivia. Like, what's going on? Why ain't Olivia pregnant or something or proposed to or whatever? You know, like, what's going on with that? I don't know, but hopefully when the season ends or whatever, like, there ends on is something's going on with, I don't know. I want them to be married with kids. I don't know. They just got to be. I don't know, but I enjoy the show. I enjoy all of the characters. I don't like that Jordan proposed to Layla. I feel like that was too soon. I don't like that they have Jordan proposing so soon like this to these women. I don't know. But then so we'll see how that plays out. And then also we'll see what the patience, how the patience stuff goes. But I don't like how Miko is just going to get off scot-free from stabbing this woman. Like, that's crazy. Like, how is she just getting free? Like, she went to her house and stabbed her, almost killed her. And, like, y'all about to just release her with no fucking consequence? Like, what's going on? Like, what's that about? Like, so I don't like that. I hope that patience doesn't self-destruct. I want patience to win. Like, I want her to win. I don't want any more struggle from her either. I'm not sure if I want Coop and Patience to get back. I don't know. I kind of want to see what the patience in the co-owner of the Layla's club is. You know, what's going on? I want to give some bisexual tea. You know what I'm saying? I want to give some of that tea. I don't, you know. But but yeah, so I'm enjoying All American. Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it gets extended for one more season. But if this season ends, I'm not mad at it. You know, I mean, let it end with Spencer going off to a NFL team or whatever, and let that be that. I don't know. But I kind of want to see more of Spencer and Liv domestic. Like, I want the domestic side of them. Like, where they're. I mean, yeah, we see scenes of them sleeping together in their houses or whatever. But I kind of want to see more of a domestic. You know, a domestic side of them. But yeah, anywho. Well, anyway, this is the end of Heard the Podcast episode, guys. Thank you guys for watching. Make sure you guys are following me on Instagram at Heard the Podcast, H-E-R-D the Podcast. I'm on YouTube, H-E-R-D the Podcast. And I'm on all podcast streaming platforms. Make sure you guys look out for this content, because I'm about to bust out these clips and these contents. Make sure you guys are up to date with all my stuff. I got 150 some episodes now. You ain't never gonna get bored. You got all these things. You can go deep dive into the old shit, the new shit, all types of shit. Yes, but I'll be back soon, guys. Peace out. Shout out to J-Rob. Bye.